the sermon for yesterday was going to be different. So it was different. So we will continue from where we stopped on the word that counts. The word that counts. Remember, we took a text from the book of Proverbs. So open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 30. We read from verse 24 to 28. 24 to 28, Proverbs 30. And I know many of you have been blessed by that message. And I believe that, I mean, we have it on the website now. So please, friends, acquaintances, relatives who wants to listen to it, you can direct them to it. Praise God. And I believe God will bless you even more today in Jesus' name. Verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rock. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider take a hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. By the grace of God, today we'll be looking at verse 26. The conies. Last week, we started by saying that some words are more important than others. We said the word of God, it's more important than anything any man can say. For example, a man can tell you that, look, as long as I'm alive, I will never see you promoted. And the same man who said it may not last till tomorrow. So how important is what he has said? Yesterday, as we were relaxing, we decided to play some video recording of some of these things we did in the village in January of this year. And I was told of a man, a middle-aged man, because we saw him in the video, he was dancing. Was dancing vigorously. And I was told the story of how there was an encounter between him and the Oba of our village who passed away. When they had that encounter, the Oba told him that as young as this guy was, that he will be there when they are burying this man. And the young man also said to the man that he will be there when they are celebrating the burial of the Oba. Very powerful man. He was a man who was revered. Today, The Oba is no more. This man is alive. So, it is what God says concerning you that matters. And that will stand in Jesus' name.
We say, because most of the things that we see and deal with, because most of them are ephemeral, you see them now and there will be no more tomorrow. We said we should not put our trust in anything that the world has to offer, including our achievements, including even our knowledge, because knowledge changes. What we know today as the fact, in a few years' time, it will count for nothing. I remember one of our professors, when I was in the preclinical years, he came to us and was telling us they used to think they were, until they now discovered the number of chromosomes that there are. Praise God. So things keep changing. And I'm telling you, a time will come when the generations that will follow us will just look at some of the things we are doing now and they will laugh at us and say, these people, they didn't even know anything. How could they have thought this way? Because knowledge keeps changing. But we learned that the word of God endures forever. It does not change. We say we cannot live our life based on people's opinion. If we base our lives on people's opinion, we'll be prone to rejection. And so we have to allow the word of God to be the final authority in our lives. We then said that God decided to show us or teach us a few things, even though we are the crown of his creation. He chose to teach us things from the simple things of this world. And we look at the ants, what the Bible has to say about the ants in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25. And we say one of the things about them, as small as they are, the Bible makes us to understand that they are planners. They are people who plan. And we said, many of us endeavor to plan in regards to our professions, in regards to wealth, achievements, and what have you. We are very successful in doing them. And that God also expects us to be planners when it comes to the things of God, to the way we live our lives in regards to our spiritual lives. And we know that everything that is in the physical first exists in the spiritual, and that the spiritual controls the physical. So, we say God expects us to plan based on his word. We should plan to do good, that with us, doing good should not be a happenstance. We must plan to praise God. We said our victory is in praising God. We must plan to live in obedience to the word of God. We looked at the example of Daniel, who purposed in his heart. He planned. in his heart that he was going to obey God. We said we must plan to build our character, that God himself tests our character and does not leave it to chance. And we looked at a few examples of that. Today, like I said, we'll look at Proverbs 30 verse 26. He said, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. He said, the conies, they are what? They are feeble. They are not a people of strength at all. In other words, you and I do not have excuse to say that because the reason I do things haphazardly is because I'm not like the other person. No. The Bible makes us to understand that even in the face of perceived inabilities, resting upon the word of God, we can do a lot for God. We can do a lot for God. They are a feeble people, yet they build their houses in rocks. Feeble people should build their houses in sand, isn't it? Because it's easier. Right? Yet, these ones choose to build their houses in rocks. We have spoken extensively about foundation in this church, that the foundation of a thing is very, very important as children of God. So I'm not going to dwell so much on that this morning or this afternoon, but I'm going to speak to us more about buildings. About buildings. God wants us to learn to be builders. And God is very particular in terms of what we build and how we build what we build. God expects us to build certain things and not build certain things. In fact, God expects us to destroy certain things while we build others. I'm going to spend most of the remaining time to talk about some of the things that God expects us to build. But I want us to go to Galatians chapter 2 verse 18. Looking at what God does not expect us to build. Galatians 2 verse 18. It says, for if I or any others who have thought that the observance of the law of Moses is not essential to being justified by God should now by word or practice teach or intimate that it is essential to build up again what I tore down, I prove myself a transgressor. Paul was telling the Galatians that he has brought to them the gospel of grace and that salvation is not by works but by the grace of God, and that having moved on from relying on our own abilities our own goodness and resting upon the goodness and the abilities of Jesus Christ, obtained by grace through believing in Him. That if he now starts to promote self above Jesus, self ability is above that of what Jesus has done, then he becomes a transgressor. Looked at in another way, verse 18, another version actually says, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed," the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Just like Paul was talking about grace, it is applicable to other areas of our lives. When you and I came to Jesus Christ, we renounced certain things. In fact, for some of us, our friends change. For some of us, some people actually had to be estranged from their families in order to hold on to the gospel. There were certain things we condemned, not people, things we condemned, because our passion were no longer after those things. If you are like me, who enjoy drinking alcohol a lot then, and you have gone away from drinking, the Bible is now saying, if I now start to encourage someone to drink, then I become a transgressor. If you are the type who will do all sort of things, then maybe you were really so, you know, you are so smart, so cluey, you are never caught in the wrong spot, you always have a way out, whether it's true or not, you always find something to say. And you come to a point where you now renounce that same behavior. And you say, now I live a life that will hold on to the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And if you go back to it again, the Bible says you do belong to a group, the transgressors. Or if you are the type that nothing will pass you by, no slight, no insult, no injury will go unpunished as far as you are concerned, and you now come to a point in Jesus and you say your life is no longer of your own, but that the life that you now live, Jesus the Son of God lives in you. And for whatever reason, you are now changing your position to say, look, an eye for an eye, a hand for a hand. Everything we have destroyed before, if we build them again, the Bible says we are transgressors. You will not be a transgressor in Jesus' name. So what we are telling ourselves is that there are certain things that we need to build. And to be on the safe side, we better build what God is building or has built. I've shown us before from Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. And we know what it says. It tells us that except the Lord except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So in other words, 127 verse 1. In other words, you cannot build something that God has not built. Anytime we attempt to build something that God is not building, it will be an effort in what? Futility. Your efforts will not be futile in Jesus' name. In other words, the Bible is telling us that we should only build those things that God Himself is building. We should only build those things that God will be proud of, because they are the things that are after God's heart. For example, God desire and delights when you build yourself up in righteousness. Remember where we read in Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23 and 24 this morning, that God delights in people who seek to increase themselves in the knowledge of Him. God loves people who build themselves up in faith. People whose faith has increased from where it was last year. For example, maybe last year you could only believe that God can prosper you through your salary. God expects that this year you will have built up for yourself in your faith to believe that outside your salary that God can prosper you. Maybe last year you used to think that God can only heal you of flu. God expects that this year you will have been built up so you can believe, you believe God that He can heal that hypertension, that God can heal that diabetes, that God can heal that emotional problem. God does not expect us to remain static. God expects us to be building ourselves up in faith. Ministers, flames of fire, going from glory to glory. That's why the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is why we tell us that it is not enough for us to come to church only on Sundays, that we need to keep hearing the word. We need to keep hearing the word until our perception of things are defined by the word of God. Then we will have built up ourselves in faith. You need to listen to DVDs or watch DVDs, listen to CDs, be in groups where people are going to talk about the word of God that will uplift your soul. You have to make a conscious effort that that is where you want to go this coming year. Of course, praying is one of those things we need to do. Jude 20. It says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. pray like you have never prayed before. One of our sisters came out this morning and gave a testimony and said when she was coming, they told her that when people come abroad, as in the Western world, that they no longer hold on to their faith. That will not be our story in Jesus' name. We've got something good, something wonderful that the world is crying for and they don't know. Even our faith. Daily we see people who get to the end of their theater. Thank God I'm not the only psychiatrist here and you bear me out. We see people who get to the end of their theater. And the only way out is to do what? Is to take their own lives. Even when it is not yet time for them. When you build up yourself in faith, your faith is a defense against the arrow of the enemy. When you are supposed to be down, you are going to be up. Most of the things that throw most people off balance will not be able to throw you off balance. You will still be standing because you have faith. In the absence of your faith, when it looks like you don't have a clue, your heart will be dampened by the things you see around you. But in the face of faith, you begin to soar like an eagle. Not because you don't feel like other people feel, nor see like other people see, but because you have faith. God expects that you do not remain static in your faith. God expects that you build up a good name. That will build up what? A good name. Do you know that one of the most discouraging things that stop us from building up a good name is what people say and think of us? Most times we know what is good, don't we? We do. But what is good may not be very popular at that time. Yet, God does not expect us to waver. How many of us have known people or heard of people that when they are alive, they were so criticized and a lot of things were said about them. But the day they die, people will start to talk about the good things they did. Do you know anyone? Praise God. All you'll be asking yourself, where were these people when this guy was alive and they were saying terrible things about him? And they had this knowledge. They knew all these things. And everyone else is saying, you know, and nobody care or dare to stand up and say, look, what you are saying is wrong. It's one of the things that discourage people. That is why a lot of people cannot tell the truth. That is why a lot of people cannot stand for what is right. Because it is just not popular. Yet God expects that we build good names. I want to show us something. Open to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22 verse 1. It's not something you don't know before. He said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is rather to be chosen, rather to be chosen than great riches. Is that what is happening in the world today? Most people want great riches to buy good names for themselves. They don't necessarily go together, do they?
No.
They don't necessarily go together. But as children of God, God expects us to build good names. There was a man in the country where I come from originally, Nigeria. This man was revered, regarded as very, very intelligent. He was so good, he was so innovative, he was well ahead of his time. He struggled and aspired to be the president of that country. He never achieved it. But when he died, one of his adversaries wrote in the condolence register, he said, so and so is the best president Nigeria never had. They knew he was so good, but nobody strove to make him the president, even though they knew he would have been the best president. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13 verse 22. I'm reading Amplified. So if yours does not read like mine, don't think I've made it up. Praise God. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance. How many other person has Amplified here? Who is reading Amplified? Oh, you don't. Okay. He said, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. I want us to take note of the first part. A good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. That is the inheritance we are supposed to leave for our children. That was what I was sharing with us on Tuesday at the naming ceremony of the Akiyemis. That's what God expects us to leave behind. To build a good name. And like I've told us, the problem or the danger with that is that people may not appreciate you until you are gone. But when you are gone, okay, if you think there's no reward in it, when you are gone, people will say it. They'll say, we know the truth. He was a man of God. We know the truth. She was a woman of God. I keep telling people, don't think you are the only one who knows the truth. Most times, when things are happening to us, when things are going wrong, or somebody is doing something to us, and we think other people don't know. People know. It's just that they choose to keep quiet. I'm telling you, don't think you are the only one who has knowledge or who is aware of what is going on and other people don't know. Other people know very well. They know people who are truthful. They know people who are trustworthy. Don't think people don't know. It is when you are not, when you are gone, when you are not there. Many of them cannot confront you. But when it is time to extend the hand of fellowship to your children and you are not there, they will say, you don't know their father, their mom. But if you've been good, something down there, something about man, the conscience of man that knows the truth, they will say, they are not like that. God expects that we build our homes. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Permit me to insert something that is not there. I will insert it there. Every wise woman stroke man builds her house or his house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands or his own hands. Every wise man, woman, build his or her own house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands or his hands. And many people will say to me, how can I? How can I pull down my own house? You can build your own house through what we have just said or read in Proverbs 13 verse 22. Bringing your family to God. Being a source of support and encouragement to them. Above all, sharing the word of God and praying for them. A lot of people pull down their own house without knowing it. When there is a man who chooses to sow into iniquity, such a man is pulling down his own house. I told us yesterday the story of a young man I saw. The husband had gambling problem. So they fought. The wife fought with him. So they broke up. So the wife went to stay on her own. And of course, the man never married again. But the woman didn't marry herself. But she had men coming. She had boyfriends who were coming. This woman had 4 kids. 3 of them were staying with her. And you know what happened? These men who were coming into her life were drunks. She was picking up one drunk after the other. And I'm sure that story is familiar to you. One drunk after the other. These drunks were not just drunks. The other thing that goes with drunkenness, they will beat her up. They will beat up her children. And not only that, they molested her boys as well. So she went from fry pan to fire. Whatever God has given you, build it up. The grass is always greener on the other side. Until you get there, you will discover the patches. God showed me something from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. That Proverbs 14, verse 4 that we read. Has anyone got the New Living Translation to read for me, please? Aha. I'm going to echo your voice. Proverbs 14:4. Just talking about building up your house. King James Version says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Do we understand? The Yorubas, they say something. They say he put the gas in your mouth. You know what I mean? And salt. Which one are you going to spew out? Is it the salt or the gas? Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, praise God. He said, in a crib where there's no oxen, the crib is what? Is clean. In other words, where you have an oxen, the crib will be what? Dirty. But at the same time, he said you need a strong oxen to do what? To have great harvest. The implication for you and I is this. And many of the parents who are here will be able to testify to it. That when your children are growing up, for example, what happens? I know many of us who used to be very organized. I used to visit Dr. Akinyemi before he got married. Old Street, right? Praise God. You see his television where it was put. Everything was well arranged. And I visit him now. Everything is super arranged. Praise God. The reason being that he has a son in his house. And now there are two. He now has a son and a daughter. They will turn the house upside down. But in them also he has joy. When the time comes, when they grow up and they say, Daddy, I've just flown in from the United States, I brought this for you for Christmas, and he will take it and he will smile and he will be happy. In other words, I've got a wife in my house. She does not behave exactly. I'm unhappy with some of the things she does. Yet my happiness depends on having her around me. It may also be people. They rub me the wrong way. Remember that in a crib where there is an oxen, it is going to be dirty. But the strength of the oxen brings the harvest. Nothing good will come without an effort. Even in serving God, you are going to get your hands dirty. And your understanding and promotion that will come from God depends on you being there and doing it. So the harvest will come only when you don't mind a dirty crib. We can see the application and the implication for us at home, at work, in everything that we do. Where no oxen are. The Yoruba, they say something. Don't pour water on me. We'll not go to the river to fetch water. Amen? Don't touch me. We'll not go to the market to do her shopping. I used to know some people when I was in Victoria, because the shops will run 24 hours. They will only do their shopping about 2-3 a.m. Many of these people have severe anxiety disorder, and they can't go out when people are there. So they only do their shopping at 2 or 3 a.m. If you are going to build your home, your hands will be dirty. That's what I mean. You will endure unpleasantness. That's what the Bible is telling us. And God will give us the grace to do it in Jesus' name. God also expects us to build good treasure of the heart. God expects us to do what? Build good treasure of the heart. Not just good treasure. I'm not talking about building up treasure in heaven. I'm talking about building treasure in the heart. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, because it's very, very important that we build good treasure in the heart. in order for us to accomplish what God intends for us to accomplish. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. If we are going to build, if we are going to bring good things, we have to build it. Good things don't just happen. We said it last time, and we read from Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 and 9. The kind of things we need to think of, the kind of things we need to imagine, the kind of things we need to plan for, the kind of things we need to make our life objective and aspirations that preoccupy our hearts will determine the kind of things that will come out of our mouths. Build up good treasure in your hearts, and the Lord will make you fruitful in Jesus' name. God also expects that we build his kingdom. We join him in building his kingdom. Matthew 16 verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God is building his church. God is doing what? He's building his church, and he expects you to join him. Remember what we read in Psalm 127 verse 1, that except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. One of the things that God is building is his church. You better join in building God's church. I'm not just talking about Christ Redemption Assembly Universe. I'm talking about the church of God at large. One of the ways that you are going to prosper is helping God to build his kingdom, so that God can commit the true riches into your hands. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 to 14. 1 Corinthians 3:11-14. I'm saying that God is building his kingdom, and he wants you and I to partner with him in building the kingdom. If we do otherwise, then we are acting contrary to him. We are acting contrary to him. You are not going to act contrary to God in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 3:11-14. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. God expects that you build upon the foundation. Jesus Christ is building his church, and you'll be one of the builders in Jesus' name. One of the ways we can help God build God's church is this. I want you to open to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. He says, and let us consider one another. Maybe let me read another version. He says, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess, and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. And let us consider, that's 23, I've just read 24. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, that is, stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Can you read that? Studying. Look at how we can help to motivate each other, how we can help to build each other so that we can love. So that we can love and become helpful. He said, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. So one of the ways we can help God build up his church is to encourage people, see something good in them, talk about what is good in them, encourage them to be faithful in serving God, encourage them to be, you know, to be strong in the face of adversities. Always having a kind word. Instead of seeing somebody's mistake, see their good. Talk about the things they are doing well. Encourage them very, very well. Build them up. If there is an area where they are falling down, let them know. And say, look, brother, I appreciate this about you. You're doing this very well. Maybe this is an area we can pray about. That's what God is saying. He said, another version actually says, provoke one another unto good works. That is one of the ways we can build up the church of God. The fact that you are telling somebody that, look, you are doing these things wonderfully well and you appreciate what they do, no matter how little, and you make it look big, does not mean that they don't have faults. It does not mean that there's no area in their lives where they will rather improve upon. No. Those things are there, but you choose to build them up in faith. You choose to motivate them, to encourage them. Because the opposite of that is quite dangerous. The opposite of that is probably not what God wants us to do, as some people will do. I want us to open to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2, 9 to 10. He said, now, if all these things are true, then be sure the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom. I want you to take note of verse 10 in particular. And it says, and particularly, this Amplified Version, please, and particularly those who walk after the flesh, and indulge in the lust of polluting passion and scorn, and despise authority, presumptuous and daring, self-willed and self-loving creatures. They scoff and revile dignitaries, glorious ones, without trembling. In other words, we must not be people who, you know, who will say, there's nothing I cannot say. If you read King James Version, he put it in more pungently. He said, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptions are they, self-will. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. As children of God, we are not to be people like that, that there's nobody we can't bring down, that there's nobody we cannot cast aspersion on. Like I told us, if we look hard enough, we will find something wrong with each other. Remember that in order to have a clean crib, the oxen must not be there. But you at the same time need the oxen for a great harvest. Praise the Lord. We need each other for the great harvest, for the good. Look, when we pray and say, God, do this for me, God, do that for me, God is going to send somebody your way. He's going to send me your way. He's going to send the next person your way. He's going to use the other person. Give them the opportunity to be of help. Give them the opportunity to fulfill the counsel of God for their lives. If we say that the crib is too dirty and we allow the ox to bolt the time of harvesting, when the time of harvesting should come, there will be nothing to harvest. Let's be afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Let's be afraid. Let's be careful. Praise the Lord. God expects us to build treasure in heaven that cannot be destroyed. Having said all this, some of us would then ask me, does God expect us to even have wealth? Yes. Remember what we read. Remember what we read in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. What does it say? It said the treasure of the hidden is laid up for who? For the righteous. As you build yourself up in the Lord will build you up in Jesus' name. Above all, remember the Bible said, the conies, they are feeble folk. They build their houses in rocks. Above all, make Jesus your defense, because Jesus is the rock. When he is your defense, you can never fail. When he is your defense, you are secured. The feeble folks, the conies, chose to build in the rock as a defense. To get them, you, first of all, you have to climb the rock. After climbing the rock, you have to break the rock. And I want to let you know that any evil that will want to get to you, first of all, have to break Jesus. And Jesus is already victorious. Praise the Lord. I said, Jesus is already victorious. Therefore, you are victorious in Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet and as we lift up our hands to the Lord, thanking the Lord for his word. Thank the Lord for his word. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, your word has come forth to enlighten my heart, to increase my understanding, to build me up, to make me what you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I am what God says I am. I am what